Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Let's go. Let's just do it. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today make sense, grouchy though I am. Just forewarned, just forearmed. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to lie, everybody. I wasn't sure he was going to start the show. I'm Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. It is hollowed out shell Thursday. Things just, the wheels keep turning and we keep ending up in the same place.
As usual, on Thursdays.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things I say sometimes in the studio, just to mess with the director, when they say, all right, 1 minute there. Sometimes I just say, not if I don't start talking, it's not. And then eventually they get smart and they say, oh, no, show's starting without you or not, pal.
Boom.
So, you know.
They're like,
yeah, yeah.
Two words, friend. Evergreen.
Yeah. That's
a little
behind
the scenes right there. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It is Thursday. We're going to do the news. It's a good bet that we're just kind of mad about it by today, which means we could get a little dark placey, but hopefully we'll come out of it by Make Me Smile time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, you go first since you got a meso links in there.
I got a lot of links in here, but I just can't get enough of the Facebook files, which we have talked
so
about
good.
Off and on all week. It's so good. The Wall Street Journal got its hands on. I mean, there are so many things that are fascinating about this, not least of which is obviously the content of these articles, but the fact that someone gave them to the press, which will bring me to my broader point about Kai's ongoing question, does Facebook get it yet? Anyway, today's installment of digging through these papers is really arguably like there are a lot of harms that have been documented already, but this issue of Facebook's international harm, where it has really been implicated in, you know, fatal conflict, I don't know, like fueling genocide, letting drug cartels operate freely on the site, facilitating human trafficking across the world. These documents show that employees, again, internally raised all kinds of alarms. They were like, guys, this is terrible. We got to do something about this. There's, you know, human traffickers in the Middle East are using the site to lure women into essentially sex slavery. Armed groups in Ethiopia are using it to incite violence on ethnic minorities. There is a Mexican drug cartel using Facebook to recruit, train, and pay hitmen. And over and over and over, these documents show, including people who leave Facebook, right? You've got this former Facebook vice president who was working with internet providers in Africa and Asia, quit, and was like, They saw it as the cost of doing business. Yeah. That's his actual quote. Yeah. There is very rarely a significant concerted effort to invest in fixing those areas. Mm-hmm. Jump in now.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that cost of doing business kind of rang, just smacked me upside the head because clearly that's the calculation, right? That Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg and all the rest of them are making. You know, this is the cost of 3 billion users and gazoodles full of money, and I guess we're okay with that, you know.
Right. Content moderation's really hard. Sheesh. Which, hey, it is.
It is.
It is. Yeah. However, it's a choice, right? Like, the level of engagement here, especially when you're warned about it over and over and over, is a choice. And what is so interesting on this question that gets me to, does Facebook get it yet? Instagram's head, whatever he is, right, the CEO of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, gave an interview to Peter Kafka, and who's at Recode, and said in this meeting, and, you know, Peter Kafka came back at him, but said, overall, think of social media like cars. Cars create way more value in the world than they destroy. And I think social media is similar. And this was in response to the question of whether it could be harmful to teenage users. Now, obviously, the internet had tons of fun with this, including me, because I was like, I would love it if there was a test and a licensing process to be able to use social media. You can't do it until you're 16, and you have to prove you know how to do critical thinking and fact-checking. Then you can use it, right? Yep. There are a million ways that you can come back at this metaphor, but Slashdot on Twitter, I think, put it perfectly. He said, and the headline, quote, Instagram boss says social media is like cars. People are going to die.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
I mean,
there's no other way to interpret that.
Yeah.
But when you add, and Mike Isaac from the New York Times was tweeting today and said, you know, you sure you can dunk on this metaphor all you want. And believe me, it was fun. But the point is, what's happening is that Facebook executives are still coming out and giving interviews and essentially saying, we fully believe that there is more good than harm in our products. And that even though there's harm, the good outweighs that harm. But never really taking responsibility or accountability for the harm. Car companies have a raft of regulations. Where's the seatbelt for Facebook?
Yeah. Well, it's in the Congress in the United States and they can't find the buckle. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah. But it is like...
Right?
Yes, exactly. So I guess what this should put to rest forever, and I think I said the same thing last week, is put to rest forever the idea that Facebook's going to fix itself. Forever.
Well, not. Oh, come on.
Why would it?
You said that 2, 3, 5 years ago. I mean, when you know, you and I did a bunch of interviews on Marketplace when there was just dribs and drabs of Facebook, whatever. And I would say, so Molly, is this it? Does Facebook get it now? You know, and you would say, no, they're never going to change.
Why would they?
Except, you know,
what is there to get?
Better than that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is there to get? They're making tons of money.
Yep.
Hollowed out shell. I even took out I couldn't even deal with my second story.
I saw that one. You got rid of the second story. Holy cow.
Yep.
Okay. I will go back to a thing we've talked about a time or two on the podcast, and I'll do a little promo here for an interview that's going to air tomorrow on Marketplace with Claudia Somm, who's an economist who used to be at the Fed and has written a little post on the Fed and climate change. And I will use that as a way to set up this. The thing we talked about a time or two ago when we talked about the Fed was the Fed and ethics. And two regional Federal Reserve Bank presidents, Robert Kaplan in Dallas and Eric Rosengren in Boston, who had traded stocks and made a boatload of money. Kaplan traded 22 times for $1 million or more a piece. And everybody went, including me, went, wait. Really? They can do that? Not anymore. Jay Powell, and here's the headline of Politico, Jay Powell opens review into Fed ethics rules over backlash over trading. So Jay Powell is looking at this. Hopefully he's going to do something about it. And I just think that's a net positive, right? That's just a positive thing. It's not that it shouldn't have been this way already, but, you know, fine. Let's take the small victories.
My other item is...
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But, you know, Congress trading stock. I mean, the whole stock act and all that jazz. That's just bah humbug. Let me be more clear. The idea that members of Congress are allowed to trade stocks is just kind of silly, actually.
It is. What I meant to say was that at least Jay Powell can clean up his own house without having to wait for example, Congress to clean up its own house,
Yeah. They just won't. Item number two is, and I want to put this out there because we've talked a lot about one political party in this country not operating in good faith and what that is doing to democracy, right? It's also doing a number on democracy's pocketbook. Case in point, the state of California, which just went through a questionable at best recall attempt against the sitting governor, Gavin Newsom. 60-something percent of Californians said, no, we're not going down the recall route and we want to keep Gavin Newsom. But it did cost $276 million, that recall. And Mark Baraback, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, listed today some of the ways that $276 million could have been spent. Paying the state's share to educate 28,000 kindergarten through 12th grade students, or funding 58,000 middle-class scholarships for University of California and Cal State students, as well as educating nearly 12,000 K-12 students, or providing just under half the money budgeted this year to fight California's abundant wildfires. So there are systemic costs, democratic costs to the political divide in this country. There are actual economic costs as well. And I just, it bears a mention. And so I mentioned it. Just, mm-hmm. It's just annoying. Yeah.
I looked it up while you were talking, and the that Arizona boondoggle in which they claim to be auditing boats.
Audit, air quotes, yeah.
Yeah. It has apparently cost taxpayers up to and maybe more than $6 million in the state of Arizona. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, what do you do? What do you do? Right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You turn Juan to
Carlos.
Make me smile.
There
turn
you go.
To make me smile.
All right, go ahead.
Well, great news that we will get to in a minute, but I'm just excited. At this exact moment, we are less than $60,000 short of our $250,000 goal with just one day to go. I know. I mean, that's like...
That's awesome.
Amazing. That is awesome.
That is
very exciting. I tweeted about it. We'll get to the full-on actual fundraising part, but I just am so excited about that I had to bring it up. And before we get there, I'm going to go with like... Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, we might as well keep going, but you're driving. Go ahead.
Actually, you're right. That's great. We're $58,000 short of our goal. The deadline is midnight Pacific tomorrow, Friday night. So that's like a lot of hours between now and then. And you could be one of the donors who gets us to the finish line and gets your banana pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Marketplace.org/givesmart. Mm-hmm.
If you follow us on social, or if you follow us on Insta is social, but if you follow us on Twitter or social or whatever, there's some videos floating around out there, one of which is Molly Wood in the banana pants, and the other one of which is not me in my banana pants. You know, you get to see the studio, you get to see Molly's pants. Check them out. And while you're there, marketplace.org/givesmart. Hook us up. Also,
that's really true.
We've got a little something special. For those of you who have already given, obviously, we want to say thank you. And some folks shared why they gave. So Juan Carlos, let's hit that little piece of tape, shall we?
I support Make Me Smart by Marketplace because Kai and Molly have gotten me through the past year of crazy, the banana pants crazy.
You bring complex financial and economic information without dumbing down a thing.
I've cried, laughed, sighed, and screamed out loud with you guys.
As an economist myself, I know this is no easy feat. Y'all rock.
And we need banana pants. Thank you.
Banana pants.
Lauren,
we need
South
a
Dakota,
montage.
Anne in Wyoming, Evan in Michigan, Kyle in Washington. Why they gave. And we'd love to have you join them. So it's Make Me Smart. No, it's, what is it? Marketplace.org/givesmart. Hello. How many times have I done this? Too many times, Guy. Too many times.
It all Too rolls together. Times. Oh,
kinda
it's
does.
So really, truly. It's wonderful. You know what? Do we even need our stories today? Because that's great.
Let's just go out on that one. Let's go out on that.
Yeah, let's go out on that note, which is your awesomeness, audience. Seriously, the best. That is it for us today. I will actually be out tomorrow, which is terrible. Ooh. But don't worry, I'll be stalking the updates to see if we hit our goal. Kai and Kimberly Adams will be back for Economics on Tap in the YouTube live stream. I'm just saying, if I make it back from this little thing in time, I'll Zoom bomb it. That is at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. And if you don't want to miss a show... You should subscribe to this podcast because then, like magic, new episodes will just show up on your phone every day.
If you think of something you want to tell us or a question you want to ask us or just have a comment about us, send us a voice memo, if you will, or email. Works as well. MakeMeSmart@Marketplace.org. Or you can just plain old call us, 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. And we're out of here.
729 pairs of banana pants. I mean, that's like
that's
bigger
crazy.
Than a small batch of Nikes or something. That's
pretty
awesome.
Lot of that's. I'll bet you we get to it. That
a lot of. I'll bet you we a lot of yellow that. Fabric. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Mark A. Green is our producer in training. Today's episode is engineered by Juan Carlos Torrado. Tony Wagner is writing our newsletter.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer of this year's podcast. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. There you go.
There you go. 1,000 pairs of pants.
I'm completely confident we'll get to 1,000. Completely confident.
I believe.
Oh, wow. I believe.
In the pants.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.